So we're just reading from the board today, I guess. There's no book, Nandan, for you. Trinadapi sunichena. Tarorapi sahishnuna. Amanina manadena. Kirtaniya sadaharihi. Trinadapi sunichena. Tarorapi sahishnuna. Amanina manadena. Kirtaniya sadahari. Trinadapi sunichena. Tarorapi sahishnuna. Amanina manadena. Kirtaniya sadahari. Translation. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, more tolerant than a tree, and who does not accept personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Please repeat. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not accept personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. I was asked to speak on two verses today, Trinadapi sunichena and Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim. So I won't recite the other verse, I'll just go on to speak about it. Interestingly enough, the Shikshastakam is written about in the very last chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Antyalila. So the entire volume of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his pastimes, from childhood, from youth, to as a young man, all of his teachings. There's one scholar who writes a book about Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishnadas Kaviraj, an academic scholar. He calls the book the final word. The final word. In his view, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear, he taught everyone, he demonstrated, everyone had a tremendous experience with him. And then his followers began to write the theology of what just happened. You know, because there wasn't really for Rupa Goswami's whole systematic presentation about being transported from our lives, selfish lives here in the material world, to becoming part of the eternal pastimes of Krishna, then what they had experienced in the company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his theologians began to write. And they drew on so many sources. Of course, they drew primarily in the Bhagavatam. But drawing in the whole library of the literature and aesthetics of Bharat, Muni, and everybody else who'd written about drama, all the things that inform poetry, bringing all that together, they presented a theology through which, even now, 500 years later, we could begin that journey and hopefully succeed in it. So the Goswamis has written all the literatures, and Krishnadas Kaviraj was living at Radhakund. And every day he was hearing from, it said every day Raghunath Das Goswami would come and speak to him. And he'd speak to him all about everything that happened with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So informed by the Kadachas or the writings of Srup Damodar and the information of the other diary, who was it? Murari Gupta's. And then hearing from the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Then he wrote the biography, which is a theological, poetic, maybe hagiography, some you might want to call it that. And it's brought everything together. Here he quotes from Rupa Goswami, he quotes verses from Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. So I thought it was interesting. This scholar had thought that with Kaviraj's writing, everything had come together. Everything had come together. And it was about, just under 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed that it was finally complete. So if it is, I would agree. I think it is the final word in that sense. But of the final word, the final chapter, the final subject is the Shikshastakam. These verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everything is in its entirety. It's like the Nectar of Instruction, isn't it? Well, you can read the Bhagavatam, you can read the Nectar of Devotion, you can read the Nectar of Instruction. Yeah, you can read the Shikshastakam. It's like everything is there in just a few verses. The whole plethora, the distance, the breadth, the depth, everything is right there in these prayers. So here in the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his ecstasies, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reciting these Sanskrit verses. And as you know, there's no book by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone had a painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once and they shared it on Facebook. It went everywhere. Somebody even painted the painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They copied the painting. Yeah. Everything. And somebody says, where's that from, by the way? He said, I don't know. It's a more recent thing, actually. It's not actually a painting. Somebody's saying, an actual painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But of course it wasn't. I don't think anybody was painting portraits like that anyway in West Bengal in the medieval period. So, here, I don't know why I mentioned that point. What did I mention that point for? About the painting. So many years later. Are you listening, Gurudas? Okay. Yeah, thank you. Great. So there's no recorded text. It said there's a story that he wrote a text on Navya-nyaya. Yeah, you've heard. He wrote a huge text on Navya-nyaya, which was the subject of the day. All the logicians were studying it and writing about it. And one scholar, I think Raghunath Siramani, with a name like that. They are very prominent scholars of the day. He had also just completed a book. And when he heard that Nimai Pandit had just written the book, he was absolutely devastated. Devastated. He wasn't exhibiting these various symptoms of advancement. He was absolutely devastated. And he was on a boat with Chaitanya, and he was just with Nimai. He was crying, You've just my whole career is, my book's already refuted. I haven't published it yet. Isn't it? Every scholar, it's like Stephen Hawkins, he published his first book and he got huge awards. And then we asked him what his second book was. He said it's a refutation of the first book to prove the first book wrong. So anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, I don't want to offend you. I didn't want to upset you or ruin your life. And he just took the book and he threw it in the Ganges. And that was the end of that book or that text he had written on Navya-nyaya. Probably a good job for us. Somebody would be quoting it today as the final authority on life. But so there was only these verses remained. And yesterday, Shri Prabhu gave class, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam, and Nadanam Najanam, Nam Namakari Bahudanija Sarva Shaktis. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see where the verses are presented in by Krishnadas Kaviraj, he expresses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely ecstatic, overwhelmed with ecstasy all the time. And then he begins to speak. He says, did you read these verses yesterday? Possibly not. Oh, not from here. He begins to speak. In great jubilation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Srup Damodar and Ramananda Rai, know for me that chanting of the holy names is the most feasible means of salvation in this age of Kali Yuga. In the age of Kali, the process of worshipping Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains the shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu was like just speaking about the holy name. He's just like, the holy name is everything. Then he quotes Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishna Sangam Pangasta Parsadam Yagyai Sankatana Praya Yajantihi Sumedishaha. So he quotes the verse that in the age of Kali, everybody, intelligent people, perform the congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He's accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So then Mahaprabhu says, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be free from all undesirable habits. Sarvanatha Nash. Sarva Subodaya. One can be free from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune, so Sarva Subodaya, and initiating the flow of the waves of love of Krishna. So to be gone with everything, to be filled with everything good, and to initiate the love of Krishna within one's heart, this is it. The name of Krishna. That's it. The name of Krishna. He doesn't talk about anything else here. He doesn't go, oh, what's better? Should I be a pujari? Should I do book distribution? What? I mean, all these things, you know, he just talk, the name of Krishna is the process. The name of Krishna is the sacrifice. That's it. If only you had, one year I was in Vrindavan with CJ, and we were reading in the evening. I'd say, CJ, read the text and then tell me it in essence like you're going to die in 5 minutes. You have to squeeze it all in. And he would just reduce it right down to the point. That's it. Whereas normally, you know, CJ, you're like the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. He's so expressive. He's so profound in his thoughts, isn't it? I said, just tell me like you're going to die in 2 minutes. There's no time. Just the essence of the point. Just tell me the very essence. So here's the Kaviraj Goswami is presenting the very essence here. This is it, the holy name. If you don't get anything else, just get that. Just get it, the holy name of Krishna. Then he says, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. This is it, purification of the heart. All knowledge comes. It's all the anathas, everything will be dispelled. All good fortune will come to the person. All knowledge, everything. It's coming through the holy name. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Just start to float in an ocean of ecstasy. This is the way. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Yeah? Possibly, I would imagine that if people really got us, and you say, some of the Hare Krishna's up in the world, they probably just say chanting. That was it, maybe. Perhaps, isn't it? I mean, that's probably our biggest. I asked one. He's the chairman of the Academy of Chief Executives. I said to him, what do you think our product is? You know, just in essence, what do you think our product is? What do you think he said? Mantra? Radha Govinda? What? Chanting? Hare Krishna mantra. Ladies, what's the product of the Hare Krishna movement? Love. Wow. That sounds wonderful. He said, surely it's happiness. I thought, yeah, I thought that was really good, actually. And you just walk around our temple in the morning after breakfast, it's just radiating with happiness. Everybody like smiles and charm and very welcoming, isn't it? Not, as they say. They see it's happiness. But perhaps with regards to what do Hare Krishnas do? I mean, it's chant, isn't it? We did a little survey with people who didn't know the Hare Krishnas very well just to get a sense of the image they had of Hare Krishnas. Some of them said peaceful. They put it on a board, these professional people put it on a board. Peaceful, you know. Happy clappers. That stuck in my mind, happy clappers. Whatever. Different stuff like that. Other people are a bit like, you know, whatever. And then they looked over all of our content on the internet. And they said, we've got some good news for you. You've gone from being scary to confusing. It's progress. He said, you look at your websites and it's just like unlimited information in another language. How are you meant to get any of it? So, dude, chanting. I mean, really. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? Say, Eka Krishna Nama Kari Sarva Papa Kshaya. One name of Krishna. Eka Krishna Nama Kari Sarva Papa Kshaya. They're all the pop. It's a common word. In English, we say sin. But if you were a Catholic before, you don't. That word, it's just terrible. It's like you never want to hear it again. Pop. It means you do things. They're not good. They're not healthy. They're not going to help you in your life. And they're probably harmful to other people. Sarva Papa Kshaya. It's finished. All of that stuff. The one name of Krishna, it just goes. Don't worry about it. Your whole confessional experience, it's gone. You're fine. Eka Krishna Nama Kari Sarva Papakshai. Nava Vida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoiti Hoi. Nava Vida Bhakti Purna. Nava Vida means the nine forms of devotional service. Purna, incomplete. Nava Vida Bhakti Purna Nama Hoiti Hoi is in the name of Krishna. It's right there. That's why I'm not doing anything today, Prabhu. I'm not going to go and help you clean the bathrooms. Prayojan's there right now, scrubbing away. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to chant all day. I'm just going to chant. No, that's it. That's the one thing. It's the most glorified thing. Yeah. Well, maybe not. But the point here is, the emphasis, the Shikshastaka is like, Sankirtan. That's it. That's Yugadharma. Sankirtan. The name of Krishna is everything. Every process, every act of service, everything that could possibly be done, it's all right there in singing Hare Krishna together. Complete. So in one sense, in the first verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, this is what it is. This is what it is. The sarup, the very form of devotion, the sarup lakshana, the character, the very character is sankirtan, nam sankirtan. Param vijayate si Krishna sankirtan. Krishna sankirtan, that's it. That's everything it is. It's all there in full. Then in the next verse, Nam nam akari bahudanija. This is why it's all there. Isn't it? I mean, this is the profundity of this name. That it's sarva shaktis. It's all there. And imagine what life was like then with the kind of almost tyrannical Brahminical society. Obsessed with the timings and cleanliness. It seems to be always the thing that they focus on, isn't it? Even Jesus was having with orthodoxy, isn't it? It's all to do with the time, the siddhanta, the, you know, the practices, the cleanliness, pure purification, being pure, not contaminated. Everything, the whole society is divided. The Brahmins here, the dogs over here. The dog eater, well, they're over. You know, it's just like that with orthodoxies and in these times. And I was saying the point about Jesus. He was saying, I remember my mother saying to me once, he was going, you're so busy washing your arms to the elbows, but where's the love in your hearts? Yeah? Do we get like all pedantic about things like that? All pedantic. And so, specifically he's seeing here, addressing these points, isn't it? Whatever time, there's no specific time. Any time. You don't have to be like clean and all of those things. Any time, any place, all the shaktis are there, just engage with it. But in the end of the verse, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu express? A certain apathy, isn't it? A certain despondency, a certain lacking. You can imagine he's just explaining this, and then he just spoke about this most glorious, overwhelming name of Krishna, and it's just the solution to every problem. It's the prescription for every ailment. And it's for everyone. Yeah. And then he has a little reflection on himself. And with that comes a certain apathy and the most disgraceful and disappointing and upsetting thing is that I don't even have a taste for it. With that then comes these verses. And it's interesting because when Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this verse, he begins with that when one experiences is overwhelmed by the holy name, that the Rus, the Nam Rus, when somebody just has even a tiny experience of that, then automatically they then feel themselves before the greatness, the beauty, the treasure of it. They feel themselves so insignificant. So absolutely insignificant. And so empty. In that sense. And therefore, by that glimmer of the glories of the holy name, or that experience, not just reading a sloka about it. You know, everybody had their first experience of chanting Hare Krishna. Remember, mentioned it before. I was just decorating a Christmas tree. and seems to still be my job at home these days, but I should give it up sometime. I was decorating a Christmas tree, and I'd seen the books, and I was out of my mind most of the time with various things. And I thought, all these reincarnation stuff and all that stuff, and every second line of Prabhupada's like chant Hare Krishna, I thought, okay, let's do it. I just began, okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was just putting, and then after a few minutes, I just had to sit down in the chair. And I just felt this moment of being completely overwhelmed. Like I felt in the presence of something that was much bigger than my council estate, much bigger than everything, and it was having an impact on me, an indescribable impact. If only it was like that today and every day. But it was that moment. And I think that when that moment, when we just have that little, I guess people would call it the tipping point, maybe. We just have that experience of the holy name. Then these things become the anubhavas, or the natural types of characteristics that will manifest in a person who has experienced such a wonderful thing. And that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur introduces this verse. This is it. You just experience the holy name, and then boom. Trinadapi sunichena. Sunichi. Nichi means like down. In India, everybody, when they said, do you want me to put something in a lower shelf in India, they go, Nichi. Nichi, put it there, down below. It's just like down there. And Trinat is just straw, isn't it? It's just grass, whatever. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions also an interesting point about this, the grass. He says the grass is humble in its environment there. He says it does have a pridelessness in the natural order of things. He says that's why we should become lower it, because we don't even qualify that much. We should become lower than the blade of grass. I mean, this is quite a statement, really. Do you ever quote this verse to people? You're just talking to them. They always kind of like go, wow. It's kind of, whoa. Either they go like, it's beautiful, it'll just be like daunting. Remember, I was sitting with a baroness. I won't say her name. I was sitting with a baroness, and she was hosting a function. It was just the two of us, actually, talking. And she was saying, you know, your aspirations and all that stuff. We were friends. And she said, well, I said, well, our lives are like, I was younger then also. We just aspire to be free from all name, fame, distinction, and adoration completely. And she just looked at me and she said, Gori Das, that's what my whole life is about. Name, fame, distinction, and adoration. All of it. So, but she wasn't happy. Trinad is the grass. Sunichina means low. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says lower than a blade of grass. And very interesting with the whole idea or thought of lowness, because the word humble in itself, we'd say humble, humble, humble. I was thinking, humble, I mean, sometimes we just use words, we just, you know, it's like we use words, we speak platitudes, it's all just we're caught up in a narrative about our, you know, stuff. Well, I was looking at the etymology of humble, and it was humili, close to the earth, from Latin humus, which was the earth. So I thought, it's quite a good word in that sense. You would know that, Vishambar, a bit of Latin. Humus, is that the earth? It's the earth in Latin, isn't it? Close to the earth is humble. So humble, like, that's where the word humble comes from. Humble like a blade of grass. Taror eva api sahishnina. Taror, as we know, is a tree. Sahishnina means that we have the forbearance of a tree. Again, on this point, it's interesting to note that Bhaktivinoda Thakur just doesn't speak about, you know, tolerate it, Prabhu, you know. Tolerate. My brother had a picture, he had a framed picture on his lounge of Jayadvaita Maharaj, and it just said, just tolerate. That was helpful for him. He's completely disabled. Stuck at home. Just tolerate. You saw that picture? Oh, okay, yeah. Do they have it in the temple as well? Or? Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was because of the weather up there and all that stuff. They have it in the temple. Just tolerate, Prabhu's. You're in ISKCON Scotland. That's our mantra. That's our raison d'etre. Just tolerate. I know book distribution in Glasgow. They're all drunk. I'm from there. I can see these things. So, Tarora, it's like forbearance. Forbearance. You know, just bear up to it, isn't it? The insult or whatever. My early days on Sankirtan is, you know, very early days, central London, early 1980s, prasadam distribution, running around, and I went into a chip shop, and all the lads were there, you know, oh, come on, Hare Krishna, whoa. And I was just kind of like, you know, no, before I was an absolute hooligan as a young man, but here I was, Hare Krishna now, you know, complete the other extreme, totally. And I was like, please have some flapjacks. And they all went, ooh, and they all took their chips, threw their chips at me. And it was just like, it wasn't flowers, you know, it was just like chips and probably battered fish. I don't know what was all flying at me. And they're all going, yay! I stood there, and then I had a flashback to a moment of before I was a Hare Krishna. I took the chips and went, wah! Threw them all back at them. I thought, oh, and I ran out the door, and they came charging after me. And outside the door, there was a police van with the door open, and I just jumped in. I was right there with the police. So I failed on that occasion, but still Krishna was there to help me. Yeah, somehow he caught me there. So I see Radha Gopalananda. So forbearance is, you know, it's everything. Why? Well, I'll come on to the whys in a minute. Yeah? Then amanina manadina. Manadina, manada. Dha, isn't it? Yasodha, she gives fame, isn't it? Benedicts others with fortune, yasodha. Manada, honor, respect, you know, the very best thoughts we give to everyone else, isn't it? We see, as they write, the Acharya, you see the soul in everyone. We see Krishna Das, Krishna Dasi, whatever, in everyone. Manada. But amanina, for ourselves, we're not expecting it. And I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult. But we work on ourselves, even if nobody notices me, or even if the credit of what I've done just went to somebody else, and even if, you know, all those situations will come in devotional life to just give us the opportunity and facility to go a little bit deeper with amanina. You know, even we're shamed, disgraced, you know, anything, but it's just, it's all about embracing and becoming deeper and deeper with regards to understanding that we, that being prideless is an absolute liberation for us. And being respectful to other people. Rupa Goswami speaks about a devotee, Jagat Prinanadi Dvaya Pradatvam, which means that dvaya means both. A devotee, prinanadi means loving, or a devotee is loving towards everyone, and a devotee is the beloved of everyone. This is literally what it means. It doesn't just say within a specific community. The idea is that they're cultivating a very graceful behavior, very humble presence, that it's endearing. It's an endearing type. Oh, such a nice young man, such a nice young lady. Just with the company of such a nice person. It's endearing. So when the devotee cultures the qualities, they become a devotee is. When we culture the qualities, we become a devotee. A devotee is endearing. So amanina madidina, kirtaniya sadahari. So Mahaprabhu was speaking about the qualities here, yeah? The qualities of these things. The qualities of a devotee on the realization of the nectar of the holy name, on the experience of, you know, a sense of our spirituality, sarvopadi vinirmuktam. You know, egoless means that all the other egos that are constructed within this world of matter and related to us, when we understand we're none of those things, none of those things are important anymore. They're just not important anymore. So, after glorifying the holy name and then speaking of his own apathy towards the holy name, then he feels completely humbled and expresses his verse as the very mentality of a devotee. So, he explained the whole thing. The holy name is everything. It's the process, it's the sacrifice. Then, yeah, the holy name is everything. That's the second verse. The glories of the holy name. And then my apathy about the holy name, my lack of taste and interest myself. And then the humility that comes with that, the forbearance that comes with it, the respect to others that comes with it. And then he speaks of what it's not. This is what it, these are all the things it is. And what is not, nadanam. It's not wealth. It's not everything of this, all the things we'd aspire for in this world. Nadanam, najanam. It's not about, you know, having a little group of people following you around everywhere. Or people, you know, expecting other people to give you regard. Never mind just give you regard, but expecting them to come together, to come round you. You're the center of the party, whatever. It's just none of that. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. Obviously, he was a young man, sannyasi. I'm not interested or just attracted to beautiful women or any in that way at all. Was that verse in the Gita? Yasya sarve samarambaha kama sankalpa vardita. The kama sankalpa, it means the sankalpa that when we look through these eyes, we hear through these ears, we touch, we taste through this tongue. Kama, enjoyment, is the objective. Kama sankalpa vardita. Free of it completely. Nadanam, najanam, nasundaram. The whole kama sankalpa is gone. We don't look to other things. We look to serve, and the object of the service is Krishna. It's not ourselves. Nadanam, najanam, nasundaram, kavitam. Now, it's perhaps a peculiar word to have there. Poetry? But poetry would have been the big thing. There's no internet, there's no television. It was poetics. The poetics of material life. Yeah? The poetics of the delight, the enjoyment within perhaps a cultured society of material life. None of that. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Jagadish kamayo, jagadish, my kamayi, my desire, my only desire. Mama janmani janmanishwari, that in every life, bhavatat bhaktir, ahaitiki, that I will have devotion for you, which is not motivated, ahaitiki. Hetu means cause. Hetu means has a cause. Ahaitiki is causeless. I'm not doing this for any particular or selfish reason. It's completely it's service. It's love for love's sake. So, and mama janmani janmani. There's no prayer for moksha. There's no prayer for mukti. These things are bhukti mukti spriha javat pisache hridi vartate. This book, the desire for enjoyment in life, or mukti, the desire to be free of misery or free from life. Bhukti mukti spriha. This desires javat pisachi. For a devotee, it's like, that's a witch! That's what it's like. That's what the verse is like. Pisachi. You know, be careful. It's a witch or a demon or whatever. Back up, stay away. It says, tavat bhakti sukasyatra. The suk, sukasyatra. The joy, the happiness of devotion can never be. Will never arise in a heart that harbors these aspirations for life or for liberation from life. Either. It kills it. It kills love. It kills devotion. It's a motivation. Devotional life is not these things. Chanting the holy name is not these things. These things have to go. Our life is about moving these things on. You know, we probably thought maybe in 5 years these things will be gone. Well, maybe by 10, they'll be gone. Our life is about getting on with devotional life and removing these things. These are the points of the character. So this is Tanada P. Sunichina is the natural qualities of somebody who gets a sense of the beauty and glories of the holy name. Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim is just everything. It's helping us. It's assisting the definition. It's assisting us understanding what it is by explaining to us basically what it's not. It's not these things. It's this. It's not these things. And impersonalism or the Advaitic school, isn't it? They try to understand what something is by just saying what it's not because they don't know what it is. Neti, Prabhupada say that. Endless, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this, it's not this. All right, what is it? It's not that either. But here it's like, well, this is what it is. It's the holy, it's the Sankirtan, and this is what it's not. We have to culture these things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own life, he demonstrated clearly, because when he was young also, he wasn't very humble. When he was Nimai Pandit. it's charming, it's nice, it's delightful to read it. But his mother was ecstatically stressed out by it. It's hard to imagine how it can all be ecstasy, but one Mayavadi scholar gave an example of what it may be like to be experienced Brahman. He said, like when you watch a drama, nowadays it would be a movie, when you watch a performance and you see, you know, whatever's happening. I was trying to avoid saying Romeo and Juliet because you think how uncultured I am that I can't think of anything else to say. But any drama, you feel all the emotions that's happening on the drama. The people in the drama, the performance can make you cry. They can make you frightened. They can make you feel horror. They can make you feel all things, isn't it? People go to see these things and they have all these experiences, life experiences, the emotions of an entire life, they have it in one show. And why do they go? Because they enjoy it. They get to a position removed from their life, from their self. They see life here and they experience all the emotions, even disaster, loss, agony, pain, the lot. But they're somewhat separated. So it's all enjoyable. So in the same way as even though Nimai Pandit was giving distress to Sachimata, it was all ecstatic for her. And with his arrogance, he was, one comes particularly to mind when he was a young scholar by that time and he wanted to go and bathe or do some Ganga Puja. And he said to his mother, can you bring me a garland for offering worship to the puja? And his mother said, I'll just go and get it. And when he heard the words, I'll just go and get it, he had a fit. He had such a fit that he began to smash up the house. He began to destroy everything. All the storage in a medieval house, all the food grains being kept dry. You can imagine what it'd be like, the godan. He just began to destroy everything. He was so angry. He was smashing. He was trying to break the walls. And then he went outside to the courtyard and he took a stick and he was whacking a tree. And then he went back inside and he just collapsed unconscious on the floor. And I thought, of course, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a difficult teenage period. But he just let loose. And his mother just hid in a corner. He was none of these things. His mother hid in the corner. And when he was conked out, she came over and she began to just dry the sweat on his head, clean all the dust from his body. And she said, Nimai, here's the garland. I'm glad it's all out. Good that everything's out. Whatever was inside is out. Sometimes this, you see, some in psychology, psychotherapy, we talk about the same thing. It's just that, you know, kind of cathartic, you know, it's just let it out. That's why if you see someone getting angry sometimes, just let them get on with it a little bit. Just get it out, you know. They gave up everything in life, and now they just got a bit angry. It's just, it's coming out. Just give, let it ease. Just let the pressure off. Let it come out on occasions. Don't let it build up. So she just eased him, said, go to the Ganga. And he went and he came back and she said to him then, what was all that about? What was all that about? All this is yours. You just destroyed all your own things. How will you benefit from that? And he just said to his mother, it's okay, don't worry. It's fine. I'll take care of it. And he did. He went out and came back with some gold and his mother was able to build a house again. But in his life, you see this. But then when he went to Gaia, this was his life before. Then when he went to Gaia, he saw Krishna's, Vishnu's feet. And he started this. Then here's this thing. That experience, that glimmer, that moment, he had that moment. That was the tipping point in his life. When he saw the foot of Lord Vishnu, the Brahmins were all reciting prayers, offering Abhishekam, everything, and he just walked into that moment and just had a complete and utter meltdown entirely. Complete meltdown. And at that moment, Krishna sent his guru, Ishvara Puri, came right in that moment. And from that moment, he just became so humble. He spoke to Ishvara Puri, prayed to him, and then he cooked, and Ishvara Puri came again. He fed Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri said, "What about you?" He said, "No, I'll cook again for myself. Let me serve you." And after Ishvara Puri ate, then he was massaging Ishvara Puri's legs, putting oil on, praying to him. And when that was all over, he came back to Navadvip. And before he left Navadvip, he was terrorizing everyone there. And when they all heard him come back, they're all like, "Nimai's back." "Yeah, but he's like really sweet." "He's speaking, he's so softly spoken, he's so sweet in his speech, and he's really like nice." And he's like talking about Krishna a lot. And they were all avoiding him before. They were crossing the road to get away from him. But then he drew them all like a magnet. He drew them all in. They were like, "What happened to Nimai?" And then they went to meet him in Shuklambar's house, and he told them, they were all like completely ecstatic. But the news and the gossip all over Navadvip was, "Lord, what's happened to Nimai? Nimai was washing clothes for devotees today. He was helping, he was serving devotees, doing their laundry, washing things for them." Somebody else said, "I saw Nimai carrying something for a devotee, some heavy object to help them." He was demonstrating the reformation in his life perfectly, as the reformation should take place in our life. But it was on that great experience he had that from that experience then came all these things, came all of these qualities that we need to cultivate and all of the things that we need to be of not engaging in our life. And so, if I can mention one last point, I know it's a bit hot and stuffy in here, and you're doing incredibly well to be sitting there, listening. My wife would be giving Oscar awards to all of you for being able to listen to me for more than 3 minutes. So, these qualities all serve a purpose. When they're not anchored on a purpose, when they're not anchored on, or they're not serving a purpose, these things mean nothing. They mean nothing. You know, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana. The verse from Bhagavatam, it says, you know, when somebody's a kinchan, desireless, has nothing, they're fixed up in the hoitiki bhakti, then they've no, all the good qualities are in them. Yeah? Of the devas. And everybody else who has good qualities, these are nothing. Manorati and asati. They're just running, they're just like, their minds is going around in circles. Bahir, externally. Because the qualities are not serving a purpose beyond the selfish self. But when these things are lined up, like the prayojan is prema bhakti, the purpose is the service of Krishna. Most of you living in the temple, your purpose is learning Sambandha Gyan, implementing that Sambandha Gyan in your life, and culturing the qualities that serve that purpose. Yeah? If we've not got humility, we can't learn. You know, every time somebody gives us feedback, we're saying, yeah, but I have another idea. It's like, I'm studying outside. They say, how to receive feedback, George? They say, whether you agree with it or not, just be accepting of it. Don't argue with the person who's giving it to you. That's like the dumbest thing. And if you want to implement it or leave it. But in this environment, humility is, that's the bottom line. If you want to implement it or don't implement it, that's up to you. That's your internal life. But humility in these circles, it's just, that's what it is. And it serves that purpose of learning. It serves that purpose of being able to serve without the obstacles getting in our way. So the humility, the tolerance, all these things, they're all important because they serve that purpose. It's about pleasing Krishna. It's not about being the most humble person at the temple. It's not about being the most tolerant person on earth. It's not about being a tree. It's not about any of that. It's about serving, isn't it? That's in the Gita, the last thing. In the Gita with this Apichit Sudarachara verses, yeah? That, it's like, if you've got that ananya bhakti, vyavasita, if you're situated in devotion, you're facing the right direction, it's like Krishna said, I don't even care if you're full of bad qualities, because you're situated properly. You're facing the right direction. Even if you have bad qualities, I want people to call you a sadhu. Finished. So the point is not the good qualities. The essence is Krishna Aika Sharanam. That's the essence of it. And the good qualities are only good qualities because they assist us in our journey towards selfless service to Krishna. Unconditional service to Krishna. The complete embracement and realization of our spiritual self in the service of Krishna. That's what these things are about. They're not things in and of themselves. And sometimes they won't help you. Sometimes you got to know, it's not going to help me to be tolerant here. The RSPCA just killed a cow in our goshala, and I'm not going to tolerate that. I'm going to be so intolerant and in their face until they understand that they have to respect our rights here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Right? Intolerance. I'm completely intolerant of violence. Intolerant of harm. Yeah? So these things are not absolute. They're not universal in every circumstance. They serve a purpose. The purpose is serving Prabhupada and serving Krishna. That's what they serve. We have to embrace that. We have to understand how they relate to that. And being sensible and balanced, engage with them and see the thing grow in our life. Thank you very much. Sorry I went on a little bit there. Got a bit excited towards the end. Thank goodness. Hare Krishna. Is there any quick question or comment?